I'm so pleased and honored to introduce Charlotte Mandel, who will read two poems for us. She is the author of 6 volumes of poetry, notably Sightlines, and 2 poem novellas, The Life of Mary and The Marriages of Jacob. She's also a professor who teaches at the Barnard Center for Research on Women, and she teaches a poetry writing course called Translating Silences, which I think in the context of writing about disasters is very, very appropriate. She's also the editor of an anthology of poetry called Saturday's Women. Welcome, Charlotte, to Poets
Thank
on Air.
Thank you very much, Susanna.
So pleased to have you with us. You wrote a poem called Ode in October 2001, which I feel is a poem that is almost like a touchstone for our program today. Can you please read us that poem, including reading the title again?
Surely. Well, I'll read the poem and then talk a little about how it came about.
Okay.
Ode in October 2001. Go, muted poem, sing the unreturned. The vacant ambulance shifts to low gear. Genetic alphabet may name the burned. Drill, hammer, dig, but sift with caution here. Staccatos of words have riddled the globe. Step on a sidewalk crack and chasms appear. Cast line to counterspin the media probe. Alchemical dust blurs daily pages. Poem, find new lungs while the gunship rages.
Wow. Charlotte, it's that whole notion of the poem being a counterbalance to such terrorism. Can you tell us the inspiration for and the experience of writing this poem?
What the immediate reaction was in this collective horror, shock, disbelief, and outrage all at once was paralysis.
Yes.
As a poet, I'm continually aware of the way outer events impress upon the inner psyche. There's like an interchange, a current, a flow between event and sensation, the brain and the organs of speech through a network of nerves. And it was though that network had been crashed into and caused a paralysis. And so I turned to poetry of the past for my help and spoke to the poem, so urging the poem to speak. This was my ode in October.
Yes, and of course an ode is a song. I know sometimes the only thing that's possible to do in grief is to come to an inner song. You also wrote an extraordinary poem in response to the couple who held hands as they jumped from the Trade Tower.
Yes.
I'm wondering if you could read that for us and also explain for some of the people in the audience who would not know what an epithalamium is.
Sure. The image was totally incredible as the thought of this couple holding hands as they jumped and a school child looking at such flight called out, the birds are on fire.
Oh my God.
So thinking of this couple, I wrote a poem I call an epithalamium, which is a traditional form of poem written, composed especially in honor of a couple at their wedding, which is usually, of course, intended as a joyous tribute and honor. And so I wanted to pay tribute to that couple.
So please read us this poem that you wrote in response to them.
Okay.
Epithalamium for the couple who held hands as they jumped. The epigraph quotes, "The birds are on fire," a cry of a school child. Flying streamers of blaze, they leap, hands locked, 100 stories. Trailing a bridal train of smoke, they dive, fingers knotted, 80 stories. He takes this woman as long as she holds, ring in her palm, 60 stories. She takes this man as long as he saves, ring in his palm, 40 stories. Coasting on gravity, bones whistle, fingers thrum, 20 stories. Spirals of ash, the lovers stroke our eyelids. We breathe their story.
So many of us saw these couples.
This was such an amazing image. Staring at the television screen, even as observers, we nevertheless were all participants.
Yes.
Of course, I also had friends and family in the immediate area that I was concerned for, as well as all my fellow countrymen and women.
Mm-hmm.
We were sharing so much in this, and so this cinematic image of the slow motion fall,
yes,
they became part of us, very much so. I felt spiritually part of us.
And this epithalamium is also an elegy for them.
Yes, a wedding poem, which was also an elegy.
That's right, and it, so many people's lives are so vital, were cut short suddenly and with no reason.
That's right. It is necessary to recognize how by this awareness becomes part of ourselves, and to recognize that it we must take it into ourselves.
And poetry is the way, because it particularizes. I mean, we're not talking about statistics here. We're talking about two people and their experience.
Yes.
And that's what one of the things.
I agree with that completely.
And I think, I mean, we're talking about translating silence. It's, as a poet, you translate these larger, vast experiences, not in terms of what the media does, which is what you talk about in your ode, not in terms of statistics and reportage, but in terms of experience. And I think this is what is so important, and it's so counter-terroristic, because the terrorist could not project themselves into the experience of the people that they were terrorizing. They could not even project into their own experience other than their concepts and hatred.
I think that's so important, Susanna, when you say that. It is so important to recognize that each and every life is individual and vital. And when one can possibly look at any human being as automatically something to be simply trampled upon, I think that is the most dangerous thing that can happen in the world in terms of how we treat one another. And so I hope that poetry can counter that by honoring always the individual mind and heart and feeling.
Charlotte, your work certainly does that for me all the time, and especially in these poems.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today and for reading these incredible poems to us.
Thank you, Susanna, so much for inviting me to be with you.
I'm so pleased now to introduce one of the poets from the National Peace Poetry Project. His name is Charles Beeler. He is a process manager for a satellite communications company, and he's an amateur poet. Welcome, Charles, to our program.
Thank you.
I was very moved by your poem and consider it to be a representative of the fine poems that they have collected up there in Provincetown. Would you please read us your poem?
This poem is dedicated to the families left behind and is entitled The Dust Waits. The dust waits, shrouding sidewalks, anticipating footprints that will never come. There are no cell phones in heaven. Soundbite from a mother-daughter conversation, belonging in some far-off future, not a five-year-old's now. In a suddenly unfamiliar living room, a mother holds on to a silent cell phone, that final connection with a husband whose death she just heard. Replaying in her mind those last words of love, she listens to the decomposing static, until 3 hours later, the battery runs out. An interconnected network of empty beds, with permanent holes on one side, will remain. Like the family photographs and wedding videos, capturing lives that will never be again, stared at so intently, in the hope of somehow pulling out that one last piece of a soul and touching it ever so briefly, until the warmth fades into memory, like the September 11th sun, before 8:46 a.m.
Charles, I was very moved by your poem. Can you tell us a little bit about how you were inspired to write it?
I was watching a documentary about the story of Flight 93, and after I saw the program, I basically was unable to sleep that night and felt that I had to somehow express what I was feeling. And having not been directly affected by September 11th, but having experienced a personal loss some years ago, I felt a great empathy and connection with the families of the victims and what they were experiencing, and felt the need to express that.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Poets on Air, and good luck to you. I hope that you continue to write poetry.
Thank you very much.
This is the movement called Hope. It is sung in French and in English. Before my body dies, I pray that the river I was born to may again wash over me. By God's touch, I pray that I may move from this consecrated earth into the next season, a dark season beyond the dying religions that seduced us. My soul will surrender and give in to grace.